for the young people, if 10, 15 minutes is too much, this is all going to be about climbing a mountain and meeting God at the top of it. So if you're really good at drawing or crafty things, or I'm going to push it out there and say drama, you're very welcome to go and do some crafty stuff at the back. I have also tried to lively it up by making this a treasure hunt. So we're gonna see how that goes, all right? I have to make a confession. I only sent Adrian the slides this morning. We've been on holiday, it's been busy, and Adrian is incredibly gracious, but he's also not Superman. However, the added complication is that the church software isn't PowerPoint, which is what I sent him. It's a different software altogether. And he's done his best to make the slides fit. But if this goes completely wrong, it's my fault, not Adrian's, all right? He got the slides just before 10 o'clock this morning. So this is on me, not Adrian. But we'll see how it goes, okay? If you need to go and do some crafty stuff, mountain, meeting God at the top. If you're happy to sit and take part in a treasure hunt, here we go. Okay, first slide, please. Okay, so far so good. Second slide. Okay. First clue is this. You're looking for something that you can read to me. And the clue is this. I'm as high as a mountain up here looking down on you all. So young people, I'm as high as a mountain up here looking down on you all. Where might I have stuffed something that you could read to me that's quite high? That's looking down on you all. Young people, get those brains working. Oh, we've got a chancer. We've got a chancer. I love bravery. Love bravery. Yes! Woo! Okay, Ben, you've got a challenge. Not to eat all the sweets within 30 seconds. No, I'm joking. Your challenge is this. Are you ready? I want you to be as brave as you always are. And I want you to just read the top bit to me into that mic there. And then ignore the bottom bit for now.
Question, why did people want to climb the mountain?
Can we have a round of applause for Ben Holton? Woo! Why did people want to climb the mountain? Three main reasons. I'm going to rifle through them super quick, because you're already bored, I know it. Number one, that's where Moses went to receive God's instruction. Okay, so why did people want to climb the mountain? Because that's where their only representative would go and meet with God. Moses was the only one who could come into God's presence and not die. So why did people want to climb the mountain? Because that's where God was. He wasn't accessible to them. They couldn't talk to him. They couldn't even really bring him prayers because they were always unclean in those days. There was once a year that the high priest could do this special ceremony, and even then it was like a partial cleansing. Okay? So that's why people wanted to climb the mountain. Are you with me so far? Brilliant. The second reason is that it was a special place. Special place. I wonder, do any of us have special places that we like to go? Somewhere that we think of as special. Shout them out. Let's have a bit of participation. Merlock Bay. Where's that? Merlock Bay. Where's that? Newcastle. Any more? Thank you, Liz. Any more? Swaledale. Yes. Get some hills up there. Torridon. Thank you. It doesn't have to be outdoorsy, by the way. I was expecting people to say grandma's house because I get sweets, but there are some special places, aren't there? There are some places that are just special. When you go there, it feels different. Very interesting. Joshua, at the time that this story was told, was a servant of Moses. He used to do things to help serve Moses. And what would happen was, when God would meet with Moses, because he had to decide things and there were always tricky things to deal with, and God would meet with Moses in the tent of meeting. When Moses left and went back to the camp, which was outside, the tent was outside the camp, when Moses left and went back, it tells us that Joshua used to just go there because it was special. The fact that God had been there, his presence being there, made it feel special. So Joshua used to just go and sit and think, this is amazing because God's been in this place. Now, without going too tenuous with this, there are places like that on the earth. There are places that you might have heard the phrase thin places. Have you heard that phrase, thin places? It's often places where people worship God or pray to God regularly. And that gap, the distance between where God is in the unseen and where we are in the seen, is so thin that you can almost touch it. You can feel that something's different. That's what Joshua was talking about when he went to stay in that place. So that's why the mountain was a special place. Now, these people, as I've told you already, they didn't have access to God. It was only Moses that could talk with God. Everybody else was at a distance. But what's really interesting is we can come to the Father because of what Jesus has done for us. We now, all of us, can ascend the mountain. We can all come to God because of what Jesus has done for us. It tells us in that verse, only those with clean hands and a pure heart. Well, Jesus has cleaned our hands for us, hasn't he? He's wiped away all of those sins, the things that we get wrong. Are you with me so far? Mega. Ben, second part of your card, there's another bit at the bottom. What does it say? You won't get very clean hands without me. Okay. So we're looking for another card. What can help hands get clean? I don't know. Anyone see something that might clean some hands? Good guess. I'm going to tell you you're warm. You're warm. It's over that side of the church. Oh, Phyllis might be helping you. Yay! Come and read it. Come and read it. Are you ready? Same challenge. Try not to eat all the sweets. And we're going to go with the first bit. That's it. I'm sorry for the sugar and E numbers. Okay, the first bit. What does that... Priorities, people, priorities. What does that say?
Does that mean we can do whatever we want and not think about God's plans?
What a voice. Thank you. Go and sit down. I'm going to ask you for the second bit in a minute. Does that mean we can do whatever we want and not think about God's plans? So God sent Jesus to us. He washed our hands. He's made us clean. Not necessarily. Because the second bit of that says, those with clean hands and a pure heart. Well, what does that mean, pure heart? What does that mean? It means our intentions, God sees. There's nothing we can hide from God. That's quite a frightening thought, isn't it? We can say, oh, yeah, we're going to be good. We're not going to do that again. I'm going to try my best. And we can really mean it, or we can be paying lip service. We can just be telling God what we think he wants to hear. But deep down, God sees our heart. I'm not trying to frighten you this morning, but what I want you to remember is we can't play games with God. He gives us the clean hands by the sacrifice of what Jesus has won for us. But he's not going to force his will upon us. We have to want to be in line with God's plan for us. Clean hands and pure heart. My Bible reading this week, Nikki Gumbel was telling me about an episode, and I'm not going to lie here, I spent 4 hours looking for it yesterday. I believe Nikki Gumbel, I won't doubt the guy, but it took me 4 hours and I eventually called it quits. I was like, this episode might exist, but I can't find it. It's an episode where Thomas falls off the rails. And Nikki Gumbel says, Thomas comes off the rails and his first reaction is, I'm free at last, I'm free. Because he's not confined to the rails. And he spends 20 or 30 seconds talking about, yes, I can do whatever I want now, I'm free. And then he suddenly comes to realise, but hang on a minute, without the rails, I can't get anywhere. How much are we like that? How much do we think, wouldn't it be great if we could just do whatever we wanted? But actually, if we were to do that, we wouldn't do any of the things that God's got in store for us. How good it is to do God's good and pleasing, perfect will. Okay. And finally, on this slide, the things that get in the way are the things that we make idols of. Now, what is an idol? I'm going to say to you this morning, an idol is something that we put above God. It's something that we worship more than God. If we go to the next slide, please, Adrian. If you see that footballer in the middle there, this is confession time. I'll try not to break down. I'm joking. There's a footballer in the middle there. Does anyone know who that is?
Cantona.
Thanks, Alex. Eric Cantona. Now, I'm not going to lie to you and say that I worshipped Eric Cantona. I didn't really.
I did.
He was pretty magnificent. However, I did worship football. And if you'd have taken a look at my life when I was 14, 15, 16 years old, you'd have said, this guy only cares about football. I'd have told you with my mouth, I worship God, I know who Jesus is. But you'd have looked at my life and said, this guy, all he cares about is football. He talks football, he watches football, he plays football. And there was a little bit of me, not because of the money, not because of the fame thing, that I would have loved to have done nothing but played football for 20 years and had that as my living. So you might say that I worship football. Now, what would that mean? What would that be for you? What could that be for you? Could it be cars? Could it be social media? Could it be the next fantastic Michelin-starred restaurant? Could it be cash or your house or your job or whatever that thing might be? But there's a real danger that unless we put God first, we end up worshipping what he calls false idols. Okay, next one, please, Adrian. Just read out for me. Where's he gone? Read out for me.
You need my beats to make a song and dance.
You need my beats to make a song and dance. Ah! Sarah's... You didn't see that, but Sarah was holding on to her instruments like, no, please, no, please, no. Are you gonna let Ben have a go? Come on. Good lad. Okay. Ben, do you want to come and read? The downside to sweets, Ben, is you have to come and read it. Good lad. Come and read it for us. Very magnanimous, by the way. Very generous. Okay, just the top one.
Oops.
You can keep those as well. What does that say?
What's the big song and dance about who is the king, who is this king of glory?
Can we have a round of applause? Take your seat. Okay, so what's the song and dance about who is this king of glory? I just want you to think about this for a second. The God who sent Jesus to us is the one who founded the world on the seas. We don't think about that much, do we? We know what it tells us in Genesis, but we're talking about the King of Kings, the maker of heaven and earth. It's really easy in a world where we're surrounded by science and the things that present themselves to us in the here and now that we forget this is God we're talking about. He made the heavens and the earth. This is the one who cast the stars into space. Already your mind should be going, wow, this is amazing. We get to come to this God. Now, I told you before that Moses was the only one who had God's favor. It tells us in Genesis that he liked Moses. Moses was this guy who was well-liked. And then in Exodus, loads of cool stuff happens where God takes him on this journey. But really interesting, Exodus 33, verse 20, Moses gets a bit tetchy and he says, come on, I want to see your face. I want to be in your presence. I want to be able to see you, who you are. I want to see your glory. And this is what God says to him. God says, no one can see my full glory and live. No one can see my full glory and still be living after that. So what he does is he puts Moses in between these rocks and he covers his face and God walks past him and then just moves his hand at the point at which he sees his bum. So basically what God's saying is, you can only see my bum and live. If you saw this, you would die. Like, this is the God we're talking about. We can't really comprehend how awesome this God is. And if you're sat there thinking, I've got God in a box, I know what he is, I know the commandments, I know what God wants me to do, you've got no idea. This is God we're talking about. The third point. This wasn't just a theoretical, and this is not a PG rating. I apologise to the parents that might have some tricky questions after this. There's a bit in the Bible where they're carrying the Ark of the Covenant. Now, this psalm, they think David wrote this psalm to commemorate people bringing the Ark of the Covenant into the city. So that's all that lift up your head, you gates bit. The interesting thing about this is it's not theoretical. There was a guy called Uzzah who was carrying the Ark of the Covenant behind the oxen, these are animals that were helping carry it. And when the oxen stumbled, he put his hand out and touched the Ark of the Covenant. And what does the Bible tell us? So glorious is God that he couldn't be in God's presence without dying. These are just the things that God gave the people. He touched that, and the Bible tells us he died. That's how glorious God is. We can't come into his presence without something making atonement for us. Now, you know the punchline. We've talked about Jesus quite a bit already. But the good news is we can come into the presence of God because of what Jesus has done for you and me. And if you're sat there thinking, that's just mind-blowing, I don't get all that, how can this be that this God who created everything, who is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, who is bigger than anything we can understand, we can come into a personal relationship with him? What? That's exactly what you should be thinking. It's mind-blowing, it's beyond comprehension, but this is who Jesus is, and this is what Jesus has done for us. Now, what is our rightful response to that? Our response is we bow down, every tongue on earth, every knee shall bow and confess that Jesus is Lord. That's the only response we can give. If you're sat there thinking, I get this, and on a Sunday it really makes sense to me, and I really believe, but in my daily practice, what can I do to recognize who Jesus is? Maybe there's a few things you can do. Maybe you can give God some of your time. Maybe you can ascend a mountain of the Lord and give that time to go and pray and praise Jesus when you climb that mountain. If I'm being really honest, I think that is one of the reasons that Moses had God's favor. He was prepared to climb the mountain. He was prepared to do his bit to go and meet God. It tells us in the Old Testament that he once waited 6 days for God to speak. Would you wait 6 days? Go to a place and wait for 6 days just to hear God speak? Sometimes I wait 6 seconds at the end of my prayer. I've not heard you, Lord, I'm cracking on. If I'm good, I might take 6 minutes. So, here comes the plug. Next slide. And the next one. You won't be able to read that, so I'll read it to you. Isn't it good when God has a sense of humour? And he says, I'll bring these timings together for you. Mr. Burris, Steve, does anyone know Steve Burris? Anyone? Wonderful Steve from the Crag Gathering. They've got a men's weekend coming up where they're climbing a mountain. They're going to ascend the mountain of the Lord. And if you're sat there this morning thinking, oh, I want to take these things seriously, but I don't know how I can respond. If you're a man, this is how you could respond. Come with us on the 13th of October, Friday the 13th till Sunday the 15th. We're going to the Mountaineering Club Hut in Cumbria, and it's going to be amazing. We're going to climb some mountains. Now, Steve did say to me, it's going to be pretty good walking. I said, what do you mean by that, Steve? He says, well, think scrambling. It's not going to be really technical, but you might need to be firm on your feet. It's going to be fitness requiring. You can't get up there and walk around for 10 minutes and think, we're all good. This is going to be a full day of walking. If you want to come, please come and tell me. There's about 10 places left, and it's 80 quid for the weekend. That includes food, and it includes the accommodation. The plan is to meet at the Hut, Yorkshire Mountaineering Club Hut, on the Friday night, where supper will be laid on, and then the Saturday is going to be a decent stint of walking. So, if you're thinking, what's my response? Maybe that could be your response. Maybe you could come, walk, spend time in God's presence, praying and giving thanks to him. Okay, well done, boys and girls. You did very good listening. If I did waffle a bit, come and tell me. We're going to spend the next 5 minutes worshipping before we make our way back to our homes.